puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Before we get started, I understand you have some news to share.
Yes, I do. Our listeners may recall that the Lieutenant Governor hosts an annual award program that recognizes people who have worked over long periods of time to preserve and promote awareness of Manitoba's history. Nominations for these awards normally have a deadline at the end of February, but they were postponed this year. The deadline this year will be Friday, the 1st of April, and the awards will be presented by Mrs. Filmon in mid-May. Now, information on the nomination process can be found on the website of the Manitoba Historical Society, but I invite those planning to submit a nomination to contact me if they want some tips for increasing the chances of success for their nomination.
What a nice thing to offer our listeners, Gordon.
You know, there's so many people out there that deserve an award because they've been doing wonderful work for such a long period of time. Nobody's expecting any, you know, praise, but, you know, I don't think it's a bad idea just to every so often say, thanks. We really appreciate the work you're doing.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, there's been a recent development in the village of Elva in southwestern Manitoba, which is site of the oldest grain elevator in Canada. And of course, I have a fixation with grain elevators. When I visited the elevator last summer, it was in pretty rough shape, and it had been put up for sale by the municipality. And so this week, we're going to talk about what's happening at Elva.
Where do we start?
Well, in a nutshell, two old grain elevators at Elva will be gone within a few months. But they're not being broken down and hauled to a landfill. I want to make that clear. About a year ago in this Abandoned Manitoba series, I talked about an environmentally and economically friendly alternative to demolition that's called deconstruction. That's where as many parts of an old building as possible are salvaged carefully so they can be used again. That's what's happening at Elva.
You said the elevator was in rough shape about a year ago. What did you mean?
Well, much as it saddens me to say it, the elevator is in such poor condition that it's become a public liability. Routine maintenance, especially of its roof, has been neglected for decades. Large holes have let vast amounts of rain and snow come in, and this has caused the foundation and the walls to deteriorate. The elevator now has a very distinct lean, and it wouldn't surprise me if it fell over under its own weight. Nothing short of extensive repairs would make this elevator safe. And there's really no value in trying to restore it for grain storage. With modern agricultural processes that emphasize ever bigger farms and farm equipment, the elevator at Elva is simply far too small to be useful.
What is going to happen to it?
Well, last September, when I visited Elva, I found a notice stapled to the door of the old elevator. It stated that the municipality of Two Borders was auctioning it off, along with a slightly younger elevator nearby, to recoup unpaid municipal taxes. The sale was held late last year, and the successful bidder was Mr. Troy Angus of Pearson, Manitoba. Now, his business is to source, salvage, and sell antique wood, which, of course, is something that this elevator has plenty of. Now, I spoke to Troy a couple of weeks ago, and I watched some videos that he is posting online. He expects to salvage as much as 3/4 of the lumber and most of the nails and other assorted metal parts. He has a 5-step process to deconstruct the Elva elevators.
What are those steps?
Well, the first step is to remove the metal cladding that covers the exterior. Now, in the earlier days, elevators were covered in wooden lapboard siding that required regular painting. This was a time-consuming and costly process, so replacing the siding with steel or aluminum panels was cost-effective. The metal on the Elva elevator is damaged in places, but it still has the painted name of its original owner, the Lake of the Woods Milling Company, emblazoned on its sides. Troy is removing all the metal carefully and is offering sets of 5 or 10 pieces for sale. They're really quite attractive.
Then what?
The second step is to remove the drive shed. That's a covered area on the side of the elevator where grain from wagons or trucks would be transferred into the elevator. And he's also removing the office, a small room where the elevator's manager would maintain sales and shipping records. This will reveal the central core of the elevator, known as the crib.
I have to ask, what is a crib?
Well, to have sufficient structural strength to hold the weight of the wood, the walls of most wooden elevators were made by laying pieces of either 2x4, 2x6, or 2x8 timbers on their flat sides and laying more pieces on top of them to make a thick wooden sandwich. And that's what's called a crib. The boards were held together by metal nails, lots of them. For example, a typical elevator of Elva's vintage had as many as 5,000 pounds of nails. To disassemble an elevator crib, one has to remove, therefore, these vast numbers of nails. Troy uses a tool called a pneumatic denailer that he says can remove nails 5 times faster than a hammer or crowbar.
You mentioned Troy has 5 steps, and we've gone through 2. What is the 3rd step?
Well, with the crib now exposed, Troy will remove its leg. The leg is the device that picks up the grain that is dumped at the base of the elevator by grain trucks and elevates it to the top to a series of spouts called a gerber that redirects the grain into one of the many storage bins inside the elevator. Troy plans to salvage the wood inside the leg, which often has attractive sort of sculpted patterns caused by decades of grain rubbing against it. It erodes away the soft parts of the wood, leaving the harder parts behind, and they really look quite attractive.
What is the 4th step?
Well, the elevator's too tall for Troy and his workers to disassemble the crib when it's standing upright, so he will push the crib over onto its side. And he'll be assisted in this by a fellow named Brent Russell of Sperling, who has made a business of demolishing elevators across the prairies. Brent salvages large wooden beams from the elevator, but he demolishes the remaining parts. So Troy will be recovering far more wood than is typically done here at Elva. Brent will push over the crib using his large machines, and that will make the deconstruction job for Troy much easier.
And finally, what is step 5?
After the crib has been disassembled, the job of denailing the crib boards and then stacking the salvaged lumber and metal parts in neat piles begins. And then finally, of course, hauling it back to Troy's warehouse where it's now ready for sale. Weathered antique wood is much sought after by architects and builders, even people, you know, wanting to just decorate their home. Troy is bundling the metal panels right now, for example, and is offering them for sale on Etsy via his website. And so if anybody's interested in checking out those panels, it's called thedenbarnwood.com.
How much has he made it through these 5 steps?
Well, he started the deconstruction at Elva in January. And of course, we've had some pretty chilly weather recently, but Troy has a portable warming hut on site. So I think he's been making out okay. I'm told that he has removed much of the metal cladding. That's phase 1. And he's preparing to topple the crib within the next few weeks. I hope I can be there. I'd like to witness the final hours of Canada's oldest elevator.
How can listeners find out more about the Elva deconstruction project?
Well, Troy is sharing videos on his YouTube channel. It's got a fairly lengthy address, so it might not be easy to remember. So I've made a simple, short address to get to them. If you go to the website of the Manitoba Historical Society, just go to mhs.ca/Elva, E-L-V-A, and you'll go right to those videos.
Now that Canada's oldest elevator is coming down, where is the new record holder located?
I have a list of the 10 oldest elevators in Manitoba, the oldest of which stands at the Manitoba Agricultural Museum near Austin. That one was built in 1901. But I'm uncertain if there are any other elevators elsewhere that were built between 1897, when Elva was built, and 1901. So I'm going to have to do some more research to see if the 121-year-old elevator at Austin will bear the title of Canada's oldest grain elevator.
You'll definitely have to come back and let us know what you find.
Oh, I've got more stories on elevators, believe me. So yeah, we'll have more to say in the future.
What's up for next week?
Well, occasionally in this series, we talk about interesting people of the past who have been forgotten. Next week, I'll introduce our listeners to a few more of these memorable Manitobans, including one intrepid Winnipegger known as Aloha Wanderwell.
Quite the name. I look forward to it.
Very appropriate.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.